It's Magic 93.1, once again, bringing in the man, the myth, the comic book Steve, as I like to refer to him. Now, he refers to it, you refer to that as yourself. You ever talk about yourself in the third person like that, comic book Steve?
Generally speaking, no, but I do have a lot of folks that don't know my actual name and believe that my name is CBS, which is fine. I mean, it's all right. If that's what you know me as, that's what you know me as. That's good. It's fine.
Well, yeah, when you run top five comics, you're at all the comic cons, you're doing your own books, you're, you know, hosting the meetings, you're running like the only subscription service in town, man. Yeah, I could see why you kind of settled into CBS.
Sure. Well, yeah, I happened into it from actually a friend nicknamed me that. And at the time, I did a lot of video work in town. Not that I don't still do that, it's just it slowed down because the world is a different world now.
Mm-hmm.
But like as a thing, I think a lot of folks thought that it was because of the channel CBS.
Viacom ever give you a call? Maybe KREX, keeping it more local?
No, and I think the only one that I've ever actually worked for was PBS.
No.
Like, although I do think some of that video wound up on CBS in one of their news clips, but it doesn't matter. As a thing, you know?
You look like a PBS guy, my man. Got that PBS feel, brother, like that good indie feel. You find on a good PBS like music show or comic show like we're doing right now for sure. And you know what's funny? Before you got into all of that, serving the community, you know, kind of as is, there was a moment, man. And this is what I love. This is why I love comics, because I know my moment, which I was like, I'm never ever putting these down for me. I mean, I've got mine, but for you, what was that moment? Was it like, you know, in a drugstore at one of the spinning racks? You had $5 in your hand. Your mom's like, you know, go to town. Was that it? Or were you like the disciple of an uncle or somebody who was like, you know, check these out?
So like origin story, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Right, your origin right. story, my man.
So origin story in the comic books, man. I remember pretty good. So the issue of the actual book, I don't remember the number, which is bad, because I should remember the number.
You don't got to be that guy.
No.
You don't got to be the Android right. dungeon fellow from The Simpsons.
Man. Right.
Because I don't remember the number either.
Right.
I remember the name of the run. But.
So me and my kid brother, our parents used to take us to vacation to see our grandparents. At the time, we lived in Oklahoma. That's an awful long road trip, especially back in the mid-80s. Let's go with that. And one of the times while we were traveling, we stopped at the gas station and me and my brother found this spinner rack. And on that spinner rack was an issue of Batman. And the storyline was year three. And it was dealing with the series recapping a batch of the origin for Dick Grayson. So eventually Nightwing, at the time Robin, and like his change between A and B. And like the cover and the story, the book was just so like, I was like, oh my God, I have to find the next one. So every single gas station, because I didn't know how comic books came out. I had no idea it was a monthly thing. No idea. I was a kid, you know, whatever. We stopped at any gas station my parents would let us stop at. The first thing we went and did is look for comic books to try to see if we could find the next chapter, the chapter before, whatever. And it was a whole search that whole entire week and a half of vacation with the grandparents.
Oh, that's, man, I'm going to wipe this tear away from my eye right now, bro. Oh, see, because spinner racks were such a big thing.
Well, they were, yeah.
For not only the industry, but for people like you and I. And there wasn't a lot of shops, specialty stores. Of course, the internet was not a thing.
Yeah.
You got things via mail order after you actually looked at them in comics, and Charles Atlas was like, hey, do you want to be stronger or whatever?
Here's yeah. some sea monkeys.
Yeah. And that's how you got things through the mail back then. You had to search it out. You had to put work into it. You had to ferret out the good stuff. And sounds like that was kind of the beginning for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like 100%. Like that chase for those issues, just trying to get the rest of that story. I'm awesome, and like even to this day, one of my favorite stories still. And it's like,
is it Batman?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. One of your favorite runs.
Oh, yeah,
is it the original for you? The one that you always go back to? I have mine. There's kind of two for me. In the beginning, I was like 6 or 7, and I found a box of comic books in my uncle's closet because I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. Right, probably looking for different type of magazines at 6 or 7. You know, being aware. And then I found some Armor Wars runs of Iron Man back in the late 80s, as well as the Demon in the Bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Storyline.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. So I was introduced to the world of, you know, all those bright colors, of all that great inking and all that great color of, gosh, people like, I mean,
like Joe Buscema would have been around that time.
Yeah. John Byrne was doing stuff as well. And, you know, I might be misquoting some things, but, you know, Lobdell and Jeff Loeb and those guys. And then I kind of got out of it for a while. And then I remember getting back in with Batman's Hush.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's
some
when
Jim Lee in there.
Well, Jim Lee, man, you know, Jim Lee's kind of, he's walking on hollowed ground pretty much anytime they mention his name. Yeah, I mean, it was the art, it was everything. It was everything put together. And of course, superheroes, they hold a very, very, very special spot in my heart. And, you know, it was on from there.
Sure. Yeah, as far as series is, man, yeah, Hush was definitely a good one. Led to a lot of things. The popularity of certain things in there has shaped other things that have come out of it. I mean, a big thing out there, the whole idea of Jason Todd not being dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be there were only three people who stayed dead in comics. Now, it's because of Death of Superman, which actually broke death in comics, not Superman. But it was Uncle Ben, Bucky, and Jason Todd.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, two of those are back. And only one of them's not.
And have they flirted with Uncle Ben coming back? They haven't they?
There was one story where an alternate universe version of Uncle Ben showed up and he had a sad trek through finding out that Aunt May was in the process of getting married to J.J. Jameson's father.
Oh.
So J.J.J. Senior.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a sad day.
Rip hearts out.
I know, right?
Just stomp on them. Alternate universes are always fun. That's another great facet of comics. Once you create the character, there's so many options, so many explorations. I've loved all of Elseworlds that Batman has. Some you guys ought to check out. If you get a chance, that's always super cool. The What If comics, if you're a Marvel fan, that's definitely for sure. If there's an all-time run, though, Steve, comic book Steve, all-time, you could maybe do top three. If you want to do top three, that's cool. I get you. I mean, what is it for you? I could probably pinpoint, for me, my top three for sure, and Hush would be in there, probably number three. The first would be the first run of Spawn. Came out in late 90s. Image was a big thing. I mean, not only in the industry, if you know the story, Image separated from Marvel and, you know, all the artists and writers, they separated from the big two, Marvel and DC, and created a organization that was all about creators themselves. So I was there for Spawn. I still have a Spawn number one. Yeah, and it's like my baby.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I have like the first 10 issues too, when the Violator came out, Overkill, all those things. So that right there was when I was really kind of the height of my nerd comic book dumb right there. Number two has got to be the Nightfall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, line for Bane? Batman. Yeah, with Bane. Yeah. That was, you know, anytime you break the bat, blew my mind.
Right.
And then third was Hush because of, it's probably, you know, not that I have a huge scope of detective mystery novels under my belt, but it's probably my favorite noir type of detective story I've ever written. I've ever read.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. As far as the thing, man, I mean, the art, again, Jim Lee, one of the Image boys.
Yeah.
You know, I moved over to DC now, so that's kind of, it's still really cool because the guy's still fantastic, but talk about big name on all fronts. I mean, one of the earliest things that made him, like, pop in the world is the X-Men from 1992.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most printed books in the world because I think I have every copy.
Yep.
Like, that were made.
There's like, what, four or five covers with the fold-outs?
Yeah, man. So there was four normal covers. And the four normal covers are lined up together to make one big picture, unless you were lucky enough to find the gatefold, which is a couple dollars more expensive back in the day, and it had the fold out front. It was bound more like a graphic novel.
Did they do one, I believe, with like an aluminum foil one?
Oh, yeah, there was a shiny one, too.
Yeah.
As far as books, man, like, it, really cool thing to happen, but it might have caused the bubble that happened in the 90s. It was a big problem. It probably is a real reason, to be honest. I mean, the industry looked at it like, oh, we're selling a lot of comic books. They didn't realize that me and you were both buying all four covers.
Yeah.
And that was not eight people. It was only two.
Right.
And then issue two came out, and they said, two covers are good enough. And we only bought one cover, maybe.
Yep, maybe.
And then that just went on for a minute, and it was a mistake.
Yeah, and then you had, of course, the big rift, the big division, as creators were sick and tired of not making any money.
Right.
And then, of course, the whole 90s aesthetic kind of, you know, you hammer that home enough with the giant shoulders and the tiny feet. And of course, the unproportional women and all of that stuff. And yeah, there was a lot of things there. I mean, that was kind of like a low point for comics for sure. And although I broke into them at that point in time, yeah, I understood what happened later, but I wasn't aware actually that kind of insurgency was happening behind the scenes. I was just all about it. Just like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
A lot different world as far as like what people know, what people find out about. And at this point, you can go back and read a whole book about it or see documentaries about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was happening, None of us kids knew that.
No, no.
It wasn't something that was a problem for us. We just wanted the next issue of The Wolverine. It was awesome.
Right. And, you know, I was always a big fan of JLA, Howard Porter, Grant Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
The Book of Jalah. as we like to call it in my house. It was like literally a Bible, like three versions. It was just, it was great. You know, I love, that's what I love about Morrison. He's camp, but he's, you know, he's bombastic at the same time, and he brings it all together with some finishing touches. Sometimes he's hard to follow, but
there are occasions.
Yeah, I mean, Final Crisis was a little bit like everywhere.
I wouldn't say that's his fault, though. Yeah. I mean, Final Crisis, he told DC, I want to kill the Trinity.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know who the Trinity is, it's Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman.
Yeah.
And they're like, sure, do whatever you want, Grant. Here's the keys of the car. And then he took the car for a drive, and they're like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Whoa.
You need to stop.
Yeah.
And so halfway through, there's like a turn in the book.
So do you have any? You top three? Oh, is there too many comic books, Steve? Is there too many?
I mean, like things that are a favorite for me. I mean, Kingdom Come is always a favorite. Alex Ross.
Yes. Now, see, because I want to use this and recommend to our listeners, the audience, that
sure.
These are great starting points for you as a casual or even a diehard who has maybe even, you know, seen these slip by their radar. These are great starting points. Great stories bring you into the whole mythos and everything, period. Yeah, but Kingdom Come is great, sir.
Kingdom Come, awesome future we're never going to get to.
Yeah.
Just in the peak of that, if that's your first book, just remember that it's not a real future. It's still awesome.
Yeah.
And the art is amazing.
Oh, Ross, so good.
Google Alex Ross and you'll find just a plethora of things the dude's done. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's amazing. As far as like a story like that one, I can always go back to and be like, this is good. Even with time, it's still good.
No, it's a great one. And it's a complete read. That's what I love about graphic novels. You get it front to back.
Sure.
That's a good contained story within the universe, which is always good.
Right. Man, as far as like other stuff, I mean, there is a lot just in general. I mean, that's the main thing, not to be. If you're a new reader, you walk into a comic book store and you're like, there is 8 million books in there.
There is.
You don't need to read all of them.
Right.
I mean, if you want to or you can, then go right ahead.
It's quite an accomplishment.
You don't need to. Funny story, and I'll come back to things. So a few years ago, before we hit Spider-Man number 800 in the Amazing Spider-Man run,
yeah,
we would get kids in and they'd be like, oh, Spider-Man's at 798. I can't ever read 798 books. And I'd be like, you do know he got bit by a spider, right? And they'd be like, well, yeah. And I said, okay. And you know the Uncle Ben died, right? And they're like, yeah. And I said, well, you're pretty much good then, because that's the main piece for it. Now, I'll give you, there's some aesthetics and nuances from all the different stories and different things to learn. But as long as you know the basis, if you want to go back and read number one is for the first Spider-Man, well, first you're going to need a time machine, my friend. I mean, or a really deep wallet.
So deep.
I mean, I do know one man who does have a whole run from one to.
Ooh.
I know it's impressive. I was surprised. It's very impressive.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Looking at those things, that's like a holy grail. But I mean, if somebody comes into your store and they're like, "Hey, Comic Book Steve, I have no idea what I'm doing. Give me a book to read to start. What's the book?"
Man. Well, as far as like right this second, I mean, currently King in Black's really good. We got an author, Donny Cates, who's just. He's killing it on everything. And he's got a handful of different books he's writing, and he's really, really good. So I would say King in Black's a pretty good place to start. It depends what flavor thing you like. I mean, if you like Spider-Man stuff, Venom stuff, if you're Marvel, if you're DC, it's different.
Good familiarity, for sure, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Here in March, they're going to be a batch of new books starting. DC's going to be going back to the regular periodicals. And current Batman's really good, which... Again, I'm a Batman guy, so
where they're taking him, it's going to be exciting because everything you thought about Batman, like up until this point, now into this point, is pretty much stock and standard. But now they're really kind of starting to branch out and really explore the mythos.
Oh, yeah. Twisting those knobs that we really haven't dealt with before.
For sure.
If you're a Batman flavor, it's a starting point, like a really, really good one. It'd be New 52. Batman Volume 1, which is Court of Owls.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story.
It is only half the full story for it because there's two different volumes. Court of Owls Volume 1, Volume 2 is City of Owls. And it is just fantastic. So if you're a Batman fan, that would be where I would suggest you just start at. If you're a Spider-Man fan, I mean, it's a different kind of thing because Spider-Man's had an interesting batch of time. I mean, there's a Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where he basically Freaky Friday with Doc Ock.
Yeah.
So it's a very different kind of thing.
That was actually fun.
It is fantastic.
Dan Slott did such good work on that.
So good.
I remember like reading those books with my mouth open going, oh my God, I can't believe. Yeah, that's a good one for sure. I would recommend that too. I would hand somebody anything Scott Snyder did and say, you need to read this and you will start enjoying comics. I mean, is there anything else though, like off the grid? Like,
man,
as far as that goes?
Of those series?
Yeah, because I mean, I know Marvel and DC obviously are two giant tentpoles. But inside this, you know, big canvas of them, they're under their umbrella, there is IDW, there is Valiant, there is Image, and Image has come back in a really big way.
Right.
I mean, and there's a lot of things that you can find that really will set you on the right path with comics, and they don't have to be, you know, big names.
Yeah, they don't have to be from the what would be the big two.
Right.
I mean, as far as like other things that independent, again, Scott Snyder and another fellow that's writing it, they have a book called Undiscovered Country, and Undiscovered Country is an Image book.
Yeah.
Right now we're going to be about 11 issues in, so close to two volumes.
Yeah.
And it's Charles Soule, who is another guy who writes a lot of books and is fantastic.
I loved his work on Swamp Thing, I believe, in the New 52. That was really amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Swamp Thing and Animal Man, both books that none of us thought we were going to be like, these are the books.
Wow. Those were the books,
and
man.
They were so good.
Soule had such a great idea. He had such a great like layout where he wanted to go.
More horror story than normal comic, but
so
they
cool.
were fantastic.
Yeah, so cool.
But yeah, the two of them have teamed up for that one, mm-hmm. and it's super interesting. It's freaky sci-fi. It's awesome.
Speaking of Snyder, American Vampire has got a new volume coming out.
It does.
Is that right?
We've started back in, I think we're at 19. Oh gosh, don't quote me on this. 1984, I think.
Yeah.
No, that's not right. I can't remember the year.
It is in a current, more current setting because it was in the Old West for a long time.
Yeah, it was in the Old West, and we moved to the 50s and the 60s.
Right.
American Vampire, the way it was built, it went through generations of time in America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're currently in about issue 5 of the newest one.
Yeah.
And so we're probably going to get close to trades there. So if you like vampire stuff, it's another one that would be written by
a classic trope.
Writer.
It's a classic trope.
Heck
neck
yeah.
suckers, bro. Deadly hickeys.
God, you know, one of my favorites is Blade, and they keep promising us another Blade book, and it just doesn't happen.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Kay.
How awesome Twilight would have been with Blade in it, right?
Oh, my gosh. Totally different movie.
Totally.
Game changer.
Better, too.
My gosh, man.
In a better way.
So much better.
So much better. I mean, that's what I was thinking as a comic fan. I'm like, where's all the like the stakes and the swords and
right?
the kung fu?
Man, not enough people carry them.
I know. That's true. I mean, that's true. There's a lot I've learned. Oh, man. That takes me back to like my very first comic book movie. I thought Blade, the original Blade, was one of the best comic
book
movies ever, for sure. Yeah. Is there a writer or a artist that makes you pick up the book right away?
Oh, man.
When you see their name on a book and you haven't seen it before?
It's a new book I haven't seen before. Tim Seeley is one I look at. He's one of his other books is one of my favorite runs, actually. There's a book called Revival. And Revival, it's wrapped up now. It's also an Image book. And Revival, it's a short pitch for the book. It takes place in a small Wisconsin town. And we have basically four main characters, but the two that matter the most are the set of sisters. And one of the sisters, she stayed in town. Their father is a sheriff, so she became a deputy. She's got a son, and her and the father don't get along so much. And the younger sister went off to college, and she's made bad choices at college, like some college girls do. And so she's come back home, to visit family. And in the process of that, the older sister, the sheriff, or she's a deputy, she's been tasked to go pick up her sister outside town. And so she drops her son off with the father. The two of them have their conversation or whatever. And while they're doing that, the son goes out back and we see him sitting out there in the snow playing with his, what looks like a He-Man and a Transformer figure, which is awesome. And we see this crazy looking ghost demon thing that none of the adults see because they're not paying attention to him. But we as audience see her and like, oh my God, what is going on? She goes and picks up the sister. They drive back into town, and partway through, they get a call to go out to a disturbance at a farm. And they get out there, and again, this is a small town, but it's small in a way that everyone knows each other, but they don't know each other. Like, just because there's only like 20 that live there, you live miles apart from each other. You don't actually know each other. They get out to the farm, and an elderly lady tells them that her companion lady is in the barn, and she's freaking out. And they're like, well, all right, let me go out and see what's going on with her. So she tells her sister to wait. And as our deputy walks up to the barn, we see these white flecks on the ground. And we get a close-up as the audience, and we see their teeth, like people teeth. Then we get inside the barn, and there was a lot more people teeth. Oh, my gosh. And we find the older lady, and she's in there with a pair of pliers, pulling out one last tooth that's in her head to put in a set of full dentures. Now, if you don't understand what dentures are, they're fake teeth. And if you have a full set of fake teeth, that means you don't have real teeth. But we saw her pull it out, and there are so many teeth.
Oh.
And our deputy comes up to her, and the woman who called initially is with her. And she touches her on the shoulder, and the lady spins around screaming and swings up the set of pliers at our officer and misses and hits the lady that was with her in the neck. And so our officer draws down on her, and the lady, still freaking out, grabs a straight-up Grim Reaper-type scythe off the wall. So Cornhuckin' scythe. Think the Grim Reaper. Grim Reaper, excuse me. And she swings it at our officer. The officer moves, and the sister tagged along. Even though she was told not to. She hits the sister in the chest.
Oh.
Our officer puts two in the old lady. She goes down for the moment. And we see the sister with the scythe sticking out of her. She pulls the scythe out, and we get a close-up of the wound, and we see it sort of heal. And she's like, "Don't tell Dad." And that's where issue one ends, and you're like, "Oh, my God, what is going on?"
Oh,
but in
yes.
a really good kind of way.
Yeah.
And like the first probably... 6-7 issues of the series, every issue ends with like an "oh my god, what is happening" kind of moment.
That's good stuff.
It is fantastic.
That's good. I mean, that's what's always great about him. Tim Seeley.
Tim Seeley. He's Tim the guy Seeley. Writing it. That one was drawn by a dude named Mike Norton.
Yeah.
Fantastic artist also.
Uh-huh.
He drew the whole series. It ran, I want to say 60, I think 65 issues, I think, before they ended it. But yeah, Tim Seeley probably got his first like real pop from a book called Hack Slash. He wrote some G.I. Joe, for IDW. He's written Nightwing, and but the biggest thing that first put him on the map was Hack Slash, another indie book that came out from a bunch of different companies.
Right.
Also interesting, but different kind of interesting.
Yeah, if you have any questions about any of these, please don't hesitate to see Comic Book Steve. He is actually at the shop or the roost, whatever you want to call it. It's right off First and Orchard. It's right above,
Cameo Hair Salon.
That's right, Cameo Hair Salon. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. Right above it, you just up the stairs and you're in, man, and then it's a place you don't ever want to leave. You know, I'm always there. I'm like, okay, 5-10 minutes, and then like 45 minutes, an hour later, you know, I'm getting calls from the family going, "Hey, are you okay?" Yeah, no, we just got talking, you know. Right, yeah, that's it. But you can give them a call too, Steve, your number.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. We'll edit it in later.
Okay. No,
all right, yeah, go see him at Top 5 Comics. If you need a subscription service, if you're looking for one of those, he is the man. You take care of so many things for so many people, whether that's busts, whether that's, you know, graphic novels, whether that's, of course, the monthly issues from whoever and wherever. That's what you do up there, and that's, you know, kind of an amazing thing if you've never been into it.
Oh, yeah, we try to figure out what people will like, and if there's book series that are good or things that you yourself are into that you might not know exist. I mean, I pay a lot of attention to a lot of books, so.
Yeah, there's also great collector's items in there. He's got some great action figures, and you can get your collection going. You can maybe fit in a piece that you haven't seen before in the middle, of course. So if you want to go crate digging, you can. If you're looking for something to get into, it is right there. Visit him on Facebook. Steve, you're awesome on Facebook, of course. You get back to everybody,
yeah.
And if anybody has anything, just go to Top 5 Comics. On Facebook, and that'll be it. As far as the final thoughts go, yeah, don't get intimidated at all by a place like that or even the knowledge people are throwing around. I mean, if you liked one Marvel Comic Universe movie, you're going to like pretty much every, you know, piece of comic out there. It's a great universe to be a part of. It's a shared universe. It's one that people like Steve and I are very much interested and vested into, and yeah, I mean, and I know Steve would echo those same things. You know, come in, ask questions. Don't feel like you're on the outside looking in, because it's a circle that welcomes everybody.
Sure, we're more of a comic book. I would say your comic book community is what we've always tried to build over there.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's great to, you know, have a business, do well and stuff. But as far as a thing, like, it's more about the experience of having a place that you can go, you know?
Truly. And I know how good it feels to have that. And I know a lot of people out there do, too. So check it out. It's Top 5 Comics right off First and Orchard. You can find him on Facebook. Be sure to do that. And be sure you tune in all year long when we do this here with the big man, CBS Comic Book Steve, on Magic 93.1.